that they go to Miron. There's other people say you shouldn't go. Obviously, in these things, it's any of going doing like the Menachem Mokum. First of all, we have to understand that once upon a time, when did the whole Menachem start of going to Miron? So, if you look, if you open up a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Vov, there's a Mil of Hilchas Chalamoid. There's a Shari Tshuva. They're talking over there taking haircut during Chalamoid, and then it brings that. And by the way, the Rizal was in Mitzrayim, and when it came, like Boimer, he went up to Mirnin. Does not say Miron, it says Mirnin. I assume it's a printing mistake, unless we'll say that once upon a time I had the name also. But if you look in the Shari Tshuva, I don't think even the new prints, I don't think they ever changed it, it still says Mirnin. He went up there to go and make a chalaka for his son. Came all the way from Mitzrayim. They did not have a Rekevet Kala, they did not have the train from Beit Shemesh to the airport, then obviously they have a train to Carmel also. He came on a chamor, he got up from the chamor, he got on all four and he crawled up the hill, this whole big story there, and did the chalaka. What's interesting is, it's not clear in the Achroinim, is the Inyan of doing the chalaka dafka on the Gboimer, or is it on the third birthday, which it just happened to be was then, so he went then? Is there an Inyan to go to Miron when the kid is not going to be three on the Gboimer? Let's go back one step, in Chutz Loretz. I don't know your people's backgrounds, what kind of families you come from, but in Chutz Loretz there are a lot of people, especially by Chassidim and Sfardim, that they're going to give a haircut when the kid becomes 3 years old. Where does that come from? So the idea is, that's the time you're going to make his payas for the first time. And that's the first mitzvah you're going to do with a kid. And the Goyim brings down, this is Hilchos Talmud Torah and Reish Mavov and the Bir Agro, he brings down there that there's a Medrash Tanchuma, I believe, that says, Ki Odom Eitz HaSoda, a person is like a tree. A tree, you can't do anything with it, any mitzvah, not Trumas, not Maises, not Kamravai, until after 3 years. So same thing with a person, you don't do any mitzvahs until he is 3 years old. When he becomes 3 years old, you make him his payas. Now payas doesn't mean long dangling payas. But it means to say that you leave it, if you know Lysakif, it means to say you leave a little bit. If you would cut off the payas here, then it's like Lysakif, it's one round circle. The little bit that's sticking out, that is payas. It's interesting, Dafka, the whole idea that people have long payas, because where does it come from? It says that Rizal didn't touch his, he left his payas long. Why? You say it's a hider mitzvah? So some people want to say. It's hard to say it's hider mitzvah because there's no mitzvah to say to have payas. If anything, it's a lois I say, don't round it off. Where do we find the hider mitzvah? By Lois to say. I'll leave you with that question. I don't have an answer either, but that's where the minute comes from, Narizal. Maybe next time we'll talk about payas, I don't know. Sometimes you get into a subject, you're not sure, so the guys want to hear Dafka on that. And then you have to do research if you're on that. But the Maisa, there is the Inyan of making payas. In Chutz Loretz, people wait, some people wait for 3 years. Here, being that we have this minig of going to Miron, and it's interesting, the place can bring down, if you look in the Shari Tzua Tshuva, it's in the beginning of Tafkuf, Lamed Aleph, I believe, in the Mishnah Berurah, you'll see it says that Lag BaOmer is a Chag of Eretz Yisrael, which means it might be when you go to America, some guys fly on the bow and arrow, you might have a day off from Cheder, whatever, but the big Simcha is here. And whoever did not see the Simcha Miron doesn't know what it's all about. It's a different world. As Mamash, you don't see this in Chutz Loretz. It's a Chag of Eretz Yisrael. These guys have already been there. It's a Chag of Eretz Yisrael. And since the Rizal went up there, we know, if you look in the back of Tamim and Hogim, he brings down during the time of the Tanoim and Meroim. Many, many Tanoim and Meroim went up to Miron. Some went Stamazay to go to his kever. He was a very chosh reader of Shem Reichoi. Tan, he wrote the Zohar, which he found only many years later. But a lot of them went afterwards, after he was Nifter. They went up there for the Yurt site, some Anlag Barmer, some other days. And we see there's definitely a big Inyan. In the Zohar Kodesh, he writes, Tu viskan shu liyom adiludli, you should come and come to my Hilula. Hilula is very often meant to be the Yurt site. Or it could be something else. I'll tell you why it has to be something else. The most amazing thing is that it doesn't say clearly that that is the yurt site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not for sure that it's the yurt site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Chidah that usually knows anything and everything, but Nigel Vanister, he brings down, he thinks it's a mistake, that that's not his yurt site. He says that even though it's brought down in Pri Etz Chaim, but he says in the more reliable Kisveyad, it doesn't say it, and he's Mesupik if that's his yurt site. So why then did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai call? What's the Hilula about? He wants to say the Pshat is he gave smicha then to his Talmidim. Shimon Yochai ki yudu is a Talmud of Akiva. 24,000 Talmidim were wiped out. He now started making Lu Yeshiva, took 5 Talmidim from the biggest, from Meir, Yehuda, Nachman, and he gave them smicha. So he wants to tell you that maybe that was the day of the smicha. So it's amazing, 600,000 people are going to go there for the Yartzer of Shimon Yochai, and it might not be the Yartzer. It might be a little mistake over there. But that's the Chidah writes. It's an amazing thing to say. I'm not going to stand by the people and tell, don't go, it's not his yard side, but You're not going to change the world, but it's a big sub with his yurtzeit.
What do most people hold nowadays? What it is?
People assume as a double parsha that is, but they never looked into it. Why else are you going? The boss says it's yurtzeit v'shem v'chalik.
He's saying what's like the final psak.
What's a psak? Did you have to take a psak on this? He did say to come on like Moimer. He definitely said that. And he said if you'll be b'shtat of my simcha, then you know it's a very choshev azach. But we're not sure what the simcha was. What is his birth, his yurtzeit? Or was it the fact that they gave smicha, or this one day that says that was the day they started the month? It's not clear. Certainly, the 600,000 people, 99% of them are sure they're going for the yurtzeit. Who else has a yurtzeit like Boimer?
The Ramah.
And that's a fact. The Ramah was Niftan like Boimer. And that we know not just because it says on a Matzeva, because on a Matzeva I can write down I was the king of Jordan or whatever. I can write whatever I want, you know. But we have a black and white Tanis. A Tanis in Archaim Simon Tov Chov, where they had a question over there. Whether you say a tzidik adin, kemoy rachman, when a person was nifter, on like Boimer, so Taz brings down that there was an old man that got up and he said that we do not say it because I remember they were burying the Ramah then. He says it was a lag Boimer, it's amazing. He was 33 years old in the year Shin Lamed Gimel 333 and was on like Boimer 33.
The Ramah's in Krakow, right?
The Ramah's in Krakow, yeah. I was in a shul and I was in this by its kever. They have a shtender there and there's like a sitter open there. You're supposed to think he was in the middle of davening when he's nifter, but obviously it was printed in America a few years ago. But it's all set up very nicely over there. The Ramah was nifter. According to the Taz's version, was 33, but there's a question on that because we have in Ebenezer in the Beit Shmuel, he brings down a get that's signed by several Gedolim. One of them was Moshe Isselis, and according to the Chesh, he was already 42. So there are some steers how old he was. But he was nifter on Lamed Gimel Ba'im 333. What does that mean? Nothing. But it's an interesting coincidence. I'll call upon him. That is, you want to go for a shur yurtzeit, go to Krakow. But then you're going to miss your outing to Meron Yeshiva, so I'm not going to tell you to do that. What's interesting is that many, many years ago, about 109 years ago, they answered going to Meron. You have a question?
Yeah, is it true that Shimon Bar Yochai is buried in Meron?
Of course he's buried in Meron.
Okay, fine, just ask.
That's a Gemara. And we know for sure he's buried there. We know Rabbi Elazar is buried there. Rabbi Elazar was in his house between 18 and 22 years. He learned the Gemara, but Metzidah Pedalad, that he was nifter. He was afraid the Chevra Kedisha is not going to have the right covered for him. The tain is on him. So he told me, leave me in the house. And then she left him in the house, unburied. The Gemara says, some say 18 years, some say 22 years. Until Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, let him in. I want him to be next to me. And then they buried him. You see, the Gemara is interesting. The Gemara brings down that he was fine. His body did not rot or anything like that. One day they saw there was a worm coming out of the ear. That was because he once heard their mevaza a Talmud Chochem and he wasn't Meicha. So because of that, he was a murder gazach, the body didn't rat for 18 or 22 years. Because he once heard the bezoim of a Talmud Chochem wasn't Meicha, so because of that, the worm coming out of the ear. The whole Gemara is Sfiras Omer. A lot of people realize that. What's that veil? Why can 24,000 people were killed? Medrash says a murder gazach. They weren't noy covered zealous. What's noy covered zealous? They're tripping each other, spilling water on each other. What are they doing? Having pillow fights. What was noy covered zealous? There's an Indian that a person is supposed to teach his friend Torah. They didn't want to do that. If he had like he's a big Talmud Chochem in Aloha, he wouldn't teach his friend. He's a big Talmud Chochem Chassidus or Musa, he wouldn't tell. They kept to themselves. They did not want to teach people things. Things that they worked on, they were very jealous. They didn't want anybody else to know what they knew. So they didn't teach other people Torah. That's a Mori Gazach. If you know Torah and you don't teach other people, there's a terrible Taina Yiba Shemaim. 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. We're not talking about Tom, Dix, and Harry's. We're talking about Tanoim, Mamash, Tanya, Kiva. They're all wiped out because they didn't teach their friends Torah. It's a shreklecha thing to think about. Any event, the idea, I started saying, 109 years ago, they asked going to Meron. Why they asked going to Meron? Because they had a tragedy over there that during the dancing, whatever, a lot of people were on the roof over there, and the roof collapsed, and 8 or 9 people were killed. And you see their kvarm also. On the side of the main buildings, like steps going down, you'll see there's 8 or 9 kfarim over there. And it says one of them was a rov over there, Meron, I think. I forgot his name. And there's 8 or 9 people that were killed then. And they made then an asif of the Rabbonim. They decided that the reason was, Yifashbash v'maisi, you got to think what the cheshem was. They came to the conclusion the reason was because of the pritzis that they had then over 100 years ago. And because of that, they answered going up to Meron.
Pritzis in Meron?
Huh?
Pritzis that were in Meron at the time.
In Meron, yes. There's no shortage of it today either. Okay, and when you hear that it's going to be 40 degrees, which I think in your language is something like 95 on like Boimer.
Like 100.
So okay, so when it gets that hot, people start going don't know if you can call it dressed or not dressed, the mechsel shlish l'vila shaman, you know, the maisa, the we're talking about 100 years ago, those were pritzas, and they asked it going, but they saw the oilim wasn't going to listen. It's gzeira shein rebi tzir chalam boy, so they were matter it. But it's a very scary thing because they have to stop then the whole idea of going there. I remember like 40 years ago people used to go there. It was geferlich. People mamash slept out, they camped out there for a week before. They still do it to reserve places. And with mamash geferlich. Today, they have one place, they have a special place, Derech Mahadran, where there's no pritzes. They also have a place for kahanim. Some people, I know Ravad Yosef has a tshuva and Yichavadas. He says a bigger mitzvah not to go than to go because the pritzes are there. It was written maybe 20 years ago. The Rosh Hashiva does with Seichel. He goes at a time when he knows it's good and he takes the whole them together. He does it with Seichel. But it's there's what to think about. You have to be very careful over there. And there's a lot of interesting things that go on over there. You can, if you never met Lubavitcher Rebbe, you can still meet him. Not life-size picture, but like double life-size. He's, if you want to know what he's going to say, I'll tell you what he said last year. It's usually the same thing, but it's the same recording. Lemaisa, there was always people that had tainus on Miron. Going way, way back, the Shoyle Meisher of Yosef Shalom Natanson had tainus that people burn clothes. We used to burn clothes. And they meant L'Kovod Tzadik, he said it's Baltashkes. Other Achrayim answered that that's the Derech of Simcha. And they don't mean to Baltash, they're doing for Simcha. What's the Madura coming from? People make a fire. Where does that come from? So some people say, some of the Mepharshim say the reason is, if you know anything about Zohar, and you probably don't, the Zohar says you shouldn't be learning Zohar in Kabbalah, Zohar Moah, and Hilchos Talmud Torah, until you're 40, umile kreisoi, not with falafel and pizza, umile kreisoi b'shas u'poiskim. It's from Mos Pesach. True that Reb Chaim Vital says, b'dareinu, we need more people to learn Kabbalah, and therefore he says, if you're less, you can also start doing Kabbalah. But when you get to learn Reb Chaim Vital, you can learn that Pesach too. You shouldn't be learning Zohar unless you have a directive from your Rebbe or Shashiva Rav. Don't just go learning Zohar. What?
Poskim, meaning what's considered poskim?
The Ramah. Open Ramah. The Ramah says you should not be learning. Look at Hilchos Talmud Torah. You shouldn't be learning Kabbalah until you're 40 years old. Umile kreisoi b'shas u'poiskim. Okay? Now, we're not talking about learning a few words, a pasuk here, a reference there. Nothing wrong with that. But to learn b'kvias, you have to have a kufnoki, and you have to know what you're learning, and you have to know something. You don't just jump into learning Kabbalah. usually, you see today, who teaches Kabbalah? Reform. These type of people, they make special courses of Kabbalah because there's a lot of people of mysticism. That's exotic. That's great. You know, I want to do that, right? If you have no yisoides of anything, Torah and Musa Chama, nothing, they're going to learn Kabbalah. It's like, you know, you're going to become a rocket scientist when you never went to high school. You know, that doesn't go.
Really, just talking about Kabbalah, I'm going to take a bit off track, but what's the whole Zachos? Many people saying that the last Kabbalist was this, the last Kabbalist was this, and the person holds that this person's the last Kabbalist, there's only two of that exist today.
We don't know.
And there are a lot of big people saying all these different things, so...
We don't know. Saying? We don't know. Just like there's all different Cheshbon is when Mashiach is supposed to come. We don't know. There's a lot of things people say that have no basis. You know who said it? If you're talking about something like the Al-Sheikh, or the Radak, or Arisha, or Nachra,
no. I've heard that there have been certain Gedolei Dor that are saying that the only Kabbalist that I know is... him, whatever.
The biggest problem is that a lot of these Gedolim themselves don't know Kabbalah, right? So you can't make a statement. You have a Jew here, about two blocks away, Yaakov Hillel, from Avat Shalom, he knows Kabbalah, okay? He can tell you, he once put out a sefer called Tumim Tiyu, what's it called in English? Faith and Folly. Sold thousands of copies. He was talking over there about all the fake Mekubon that we have today. Some read the Zuzas, some read your hands. There was a guy in Bnei Brak a few years ago, a Shtickle Rebbe, at least he claimed he was, and he said that people came to him, they had problems with Shalom Bayis, or they couldn't have kids, they didn't have parnos, they couldn't have shidduch. He would tell you to bring your ksuba, and he would passel your ksuba. And he would tell you to make a new ksuba, of course. It costs money to make a new ksuba. He would take that too. And Rav Ozner put out a very nasty letter saying that he's not a makubal, and he's talking shtusim, and you don't passel a person's ksuba, and you have no right to do that. It's matlaz on all the ksubas a person lives. There's people do a lot of wild things. People promise you that if you come to him, and he'll read your mezuzah, give him $100, and he'll give you brochas. Kol Yeshuot. You have to know who to believe, who not to believe. It's very hard for me to say, like I'll say, this is the biggest place and this is the lesser place. Who am I to say that? In order to make that statement, I have to be bigger than both of them, right? To make a statement, this is Emes de Kabbalah, who can say that? You have a Jew of Michal Zilber, he knows Kabbalah, he learned by Yaakov Hillel. You have Yaakov Hillel, there's a few people in Yerushalayim, more than a few, that know Kabbalah. If they'll make a statement, who is real Kabbalah, maybe you can believe them. But some people make these statements, they very often don't know what they're talking about. Now, the Inyan of Simcha, besides the fact that people are against going up because of pritzis, and besides the fact that some people are against the idea of burning things, oh, where's the burning come from? The whole idea of making madura. It also became a little bit out of hand. What basically happens in Yerushalayim is, if you look around the kids, when it comes to Sreifas Chometz a few weeks ago, so weeks before that they're gathering wood, and that's like the rehearsal for the big madura they can make on Lag BaOmer. Let aside the mitzvah of burning chometz, for them it's the rehearsal for the big madura. And why are we making madura altogether on, I mean, Pesach doesn't need burning chometz. No one ever said you have to have the tallest madura in Yerushalayim to burn chometz. But like I said, it's a rehearsal. What's the name of making madura on Lag BaOmer? So some people say the Zohar HaKodesh was written by Rav Shlomo Yochai. There's the Idra Adra Rabba and Adra Zutta. The Adra Zutta was written by Rav Shlomo Yochai the last few hours before he was Nifter. And the Rabbi Yisham extended, the sun did not set, or settle, I don't know the proper word in English, until he finished teaching them that. Okay? And because of that, the fact that the sun did not set for many hours, so because of that, we make a big fire to show that there was light before Rav Shlomo Yochai was Nifter, even though it was the middle of the night.
So
that's one pirush.
Three Svarim, the Zohar, and then the two that Rebbe just mentioned?
Those are sections in the Zohar. There's also Raya Mehemna. There's all different sections. There's the Tikkuni Zohar. Ask your local Makuba, it'll tell you all different sections. I'm just throwing different names, but don't get the idea that I'm talking about. What?
Are there two specific?
In the Zohar, there's Adra Rab and Adra Zutta, but there's other sections also.
Okay.
All I can tell you for sure is that the Adra Zutta was the last few hours that he was alive. He had his stomach together, and he kept on telling him secrets, which Agav, there's a question which a lot of Achronim ask. How come on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, which is Zayin Adar, it's brought down a Shulchan Aruch in Tov Kuf Pei, that you're supposed to fast, Tanya Sadiqim, if you're a Shemayim. Whereas when it comes to Lag BaOmer, it's Fakert, it's big festivities. Same thing, no? Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rishim Bei Choy was the Nister. He was a Nigel's Nister. Why by Moshe Rabbeinu are we fasting? And by Rishim Bei Choy, we're making big Chagigah. So one of the interesting answers is, because when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, Chazal said, they forgot 300 halachas. On the other hand, when Rishim Bei Choy was Nifter, now they didn't forget, he was moisted them a whole section of the Zohar, which he was able to give him a serious nefer the last few hours of his life. So that's why it's a big simcha. Now, there's another interesting pshat, I think the Bnei Sosra says this, as to why they make the big bonfires, is because in the good old days, a little bit before the time of Shem Ben Choy, so they had a problem there. How did they know that there were Edom, that they're Makash the Chodesh? So they didn't have a WhatsApp, or they didn't have a fax, and they didn't have a mail, email, all these things they didn't have. How did they do it? They made maduras. How would they do it? Next to the Mokim Migdash, when the Edom came, Bezna Mokleh, okay, now it's Chodesh. They made this huge madura over there. Several miles away, they would see this madura, they would light a madura. Then 3 miles away, it's like a relay. Until this way, in the whole Eretz Yisrael, they knew that there is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so they knew exactly when it's Yantav, everything's great. The Romans understood very well that the whole Jewish religion is based on these bonfires, because you don't have bonfires, you don't know when to make Yantav. You don't have Yantav, the Nolei Regel. So they decided, they banned, and they answered making the bonfires. Like the Tzionim said yesterday, it's going to be very hot in Miron, so they think they're going to answer making bonfires, because they make forest fires or whatever. I'm 100% sure that the bonfire is going to be anyway. Whether they're going to arrest people or not, I don't know. I just hope they don't try to do it. That doesn't seem to me, they mean too much Hashem Shemayim, that they're worried about the fires that are be there. I mean, every single year they make fires there, and every single year I've yet to hear that there was a fire that got out of hand, everything's under control. But there's some people that are not too happy. They complain the whole time. The Medina is putting so much millions of dollars in the budget for like for one day for Haridim that don't go to the army anyway, and they're just, you know, taking out all our money. They always have interesting times against the Haridim, and they should afterwards make a cheshbon what they put out right now for the Eurovision, whatever it's called, in Tel Aviv with the Mechichil Shabbos of 30,000 people. It's interesting how many millions of dollars they put into that. Lahavdol. In any event,
so what's the reason of
Bnei Sosra? Bnei Sosra said that the Pshat was that they were mevatel these maduras. Then afterwards, when the Jews overcame, so they reinstituted the making of maduras. So it brought tremendous simcha. The fact that they were able to communicate and have the yontav on time and do it, that made a tremendous simcha. So because of that, making a big fire is a tremendous simcha, and that's what we do. They're making this big fire to have the simcha. This is all the tkufa of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Simcha of restarting the fire.
Say again?
Simcha of restarting the fire after it was.
Yeah, the fact that all these years they weren't able to do it. Now we make these big fires. So fire brings a lot of simcha. And needless to say, the kids today, when you make a big fire, they're also very mesamech. That's already part of it. unfortunately, it gets very hard today. It used to be a lot easier, but today, hundreds of thousands of people come. And every year, if not every second year, the buses get stuck in the middle because they're just not shacked. They don't have the roads for it. So every year they add on roads. They made an underground bridge. They're doing what they can. I suppose you people are doing the smartest thing. You're not trying to come back home. But I remember one year that I went there with a bunch of kids, and I got stuck in one place, not moving for 8 hours. You got out of your mind. At least I get stuck at night. You get stuck in the day with 40 degrees. Not too good.
On the way back home?
Some guys on the way back home. Me, it happened on the way there. So I was planning on getting back early in the morning. I didn't get there till in the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's an idea to go to a kever of a tzaddik. Now we know from the Gemara and Saita that Yeshua and Hillel, Koyu Shiachim, Atzas Roshan, they wanted to mispal to the Kivriyovas. They went to Kever, they daven. We see over there from the Gemara, there's the Inyan to daven by the kever of Kosher people. And that's basically what's happening over here. We're going to daven by the kever Shemar Yechoy on the day that he was nifter, according to some people, and he wanted us to come. Now you have to know the Mishnah Berurah brings out Rosh Hashanah that you're not mispal to him. He has big schusim, but he's not God. It's not allowed to daven to him, says the Mishnah Berurah. What the Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be davening to Rabbi Yisham, b'schus the tzaddik that's buried over here. That's the idea. And not everybody holds like the Mishnah Berurah. There's some places that say that you can daven to the tzaddik. You're not looking at him as God or as a malach, but you're asking him to mispal because tzaddikim are bigger b'misosim yosef v'chaim. You're asking him to use his chusim to join in your tefillas and be mispal to Rabbi Yisham. And they hold there's nothing wrong with that.
What's your real?
I have no problem davening and not davening to the nifter himself. Well, why get into machlekes? You daven there, b'schus the chshivus, the tzaddik. Why get involved in such machlekes? If you can avoid machlekes and the yitzal shittas, why get into trouble? That's an old quran.
So
dafka v'leila say that the chidah said all the time, whenever you can, you're supposed to try to be yitzal all shittas. He says, especially leila seder, you're supposed to be mahadah. In general, a person's way of life should be, you should try to be yitzal as many shittas as you can. Over here, do I want a dafka have him daven for me? If I can't read and I can't daven, maybe it's a good thing to do. But if you can daven, you daven b'schusim. Agav, you don't have to go inside and kill yourself over there. And in certain hours when there's big pressure, thousands of people want to daven right there. They say Chaim Shmulevitz once wanted to get someone, he asked the Bocher where he's going. He's going to Miron. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, what about Seder? Well, his father was beginning to go to Miron. But Chaim Shmulevitz says, when you're there, do you go right there on the carriage? He says, no, that's impossible. I stand outside. He says, how does that work? He said, what's the difference if I stand inside? I stand outside. As long as I have kavana. So Chaim Shmulevitz, I agree with 100%. I do the same thing from here next to Bish Medesh. I stick in Bish Medesh and I have a mind Rishon Ben Yechai and Lugbarma, it's fine. Okay. So if you're in yeshiva and there's yeshiva holes like that, then that's what you have to do. Here the yeshiva wants you to go there. He has his cheshbonis and he has it organized and he's making sure that everybody's together and whatnot. So it's very good. But there are, if you're in such yeshiva, you have to go by the rules of the yeshiva. And there's always case of chassidish guys in the mir yeshiva that want to go there. Or literature guys, the chassidish yeshiva, that also happens. Well, there are these type of things, but you have to know if you're in a place, you have to go by the rules. Or ask rishus. Now, it's interesting that it's the idea of doing chalaka, we said before, is done in the chutzlar. It's a lot of people do when they become 3 years, like I said, because other mates are soda. What happens, a guy like me, I made my kids chalaka, we're talking about 36 years ago. So I was wondering then, in my house, we're knowing to take the haircut when three. Now you come to Eretz Yisrael. Do you do it on like Weimar, or do you wait till he's three? So I found that it's not clear. There's a tshuva I saw from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he told us chassidim, that since their minhag is due by three and they live in Eretz Yisrael, so they should wait till he's 3 years old plus the fine lag b'omer. Those you get around both. So if you see a Lubavitch kid with long hair, that's because he didn't get to 3 years old, but lag b'omer passed. The Yishlaimers are usually not like that. The Yishlaimers, they go, they'll take the haircut in Miron, even though the kid is not 3 years old. He's like over 2.5, they'll do it because they want to go lag b'omer to Miron. There are some people that will wait till three and then they'll come dafka to Miron. But that's not clear. I've seen the Mefarshim Torah. It's not clear if the Rizal held as the inyan to go when you're 3 years old to Miron and it happened to come out like Boimer, or no, that the inyan is to do it in Miron regardless of the age. It's very not clear. And there are a lot of chugim. You'll see that the people go whenever they take the haircut, they will go to Miron anyway in the middle of the year. Yeah.
Is there really a special thing that you're cutting the kids' hair in Miron?
Again, we know that Rizal did it. We don't know exactly what his cheshbon was. Was it because it was like Boimer, or was it because of Miron? We don't know. But it's brought down in the place. Can you open a Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Vav, you see down the Rizal, he went there, went to Kiv, That's where it comes from. It comes from
Aminigarizal. Whatever the reason is, you're doing it.
That's an old klal that even if you don't know all the kavanas of Kabbalah,
the fact that you do bepoil,
you might not be as chashev as someone knows what he's doing, but yes, it's a big zach.
Well, I'm saying nobody knows why the reason is. So
I wouldn't say nobody. There might be some kabbalah that say why, but certainly it's brought down in the kabbalah term that this is what you're supposed to do. Anytime you do what you're supposed to do, it's better if you know why you're doing it.
Right.
But when it's something which I'll pick up, we talk, I don't know.
If I cut my hair, is that also something, or actually it's a result?
I don't know if you're there yet. What's your shayla? Look, like boimer me ikra din. Here, if you want to go like the Rizal, you're not going to do like boimer. Realize that.
What?
Since I assume that you're more than 3 years old, and you want to do like the Rizal, you're not going to take your hair like boimer. There's different shittas as to when the sphere is, right?
I have to be 3.
But if you're not 3 according to Rizal, you're not supposed to take a haircut until Erev Shavuos. That's the Rizal Shita. Mr. Boer brings down, so I don't know if you want to be Mekubal on this one. But 3 years old, it's great. But even though Al Pi Halacha, it's either the first 33 days or the next 33 days, according to Rizal, you're not supposed to take a haircut the whole period till Erev Shavuos on the Yom Tes. No, it's the same thing. According to Rizal, if you go like the Rizal, you don't shave anyway. That's your next problem. According to the Rizal, you're not supposed to be touching your beard. According to Mishnah Berurah, you're not supposed to touch your beard. You know that? According to Mishnah Berurah, use a shaver over the rice. You know that?
Why do we shave?
Because your Moshe Feinstein. Now we're going from the tangent again. There is a machlekes when it says, if you look up in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Pei Alef in Yerdeya, it says you're now to use a tar, which means a razor, but you can use misprayim kein tar. A scissors like a razor is mutter. Most places can understand misprayim kein tar means the scissors is like so close it appears like a razor and it's still mutter. Okay? So now we gotta know what is the borderline between this misprayim kein tar and the tar. Misprayim kein tar we pass as mutter. Tar, you're every deraisa. What's the borderline? Most places can learn, and it seems like the Mishnah Berurah also, that if you get very close to the skin, that's Tar Mamish. So the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a machine that he had in his time. I don't know when he wrote it. The Mishnah Berurah is Niftel, say, in 1933. So you're talking about like 80 years ago. Okay? I don't know if it was an electric machine. He calls it a null machine. If you know Yiddish, and you don't, null means zero. Okay? Then a machine called a zero machine. I can imagine that their zero machine was not the best shaver. Right? And he still says that that's Tar and it's Osir. He says it's Dereisa. I don't think it was electric. It was probably something mechanical. Well, you squeezed it. I don't know exactly how it worked. But he answers. And I saw also the Har Tzvi and Rav Scheinberg and other places. They said, if you put ink on your face and you use it, it'll take off part of that ink. That's a problem. That's a tar. But Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't learn like that. And the whole yeshiva world today, all those people that use shavers, they're Sanach Rav Moshe. Moshe is a brand new Chiddush. Rav Moshe says, the difference between tar and Mesprayim Kein Tar is not how close it gets. It's a mechanical Chiddush. Tar, by definition, means a razor, one blade. Okay? Misprayim kein tar, it's two blades like a scissors, but it's exactly equal to the tar that it goes down to the skin, and it's exactly the cost of that you can use. So according to Moshe, as long as it's a scissor action of two blades, so I don't care if it goes much down to the skin. That's what Moshe held, and I'm told that Reb Chaim Oizer Grzensky, like 57 or 70 years ago, held the same thing. I didn't see that in print, but I heard it from several people. Reb Chaim Oizer held like that also. Now, the Yeshiva Velt is Seimach on that day, and they go like Moshe. Here in Eretz Yisrael, obviously it's a less of a nesoyin because people are not in business or whatever. Here it's not a problem to go with a beard, so people will not do like that. Most people will have beards. But those people that are shaving will be samech on the sheet of Moshe, which is fine. Moshe was the place of Kedar, and the people can be samech on it. But that's as far as... And the Rizal says you're not supposed to shave altogether. That no one's going to argue on. So if you want to go like the Rizal, you're not only not going to take a haircut until Erev Shavuos, but you're not going to touch your beard altogether. So I don't think you should subscribe to the Kabbalah right now. I say I'm going to end it because the Shiva told me never to go more than half hour. I'll just tell you, no?
Before the Arizal, was there people that do haircuts for children at 3 years old?
Or I would say no.
That just started at
it seems to me it started from then. That's my understanding. In any event, I could look it up, but I don't think anybody brings that before.
That's where a whole option comes from?
Yes. Open up your Mishnah Berurah, Chei Vav, and Simat Tav Kulam, and you'll find it.
But if you did the upsharing, well, I guess if you did the upsharing by like on Lagom and whatever, Rabbi Shimon. So people just disregard that. They just say they cut a kid's hair at three, so we're going to cut a kid's hair at three.
Fine, that's awesome. Like,
is it more of a
the Maisa, let me just end off with once. Oh, about the bow and arrow, in case someone's going to ask you where the bow and arrow is from.
Oh, Maisa, yeah.
So the bow and arrow, the Bnei Sosra says, because the says in the Gemara that in the time of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so there never was a keshet in heaven. A keshet, as we know, is a symbol that the Rav Shimon wanted to bring Einshim to Klai Yisrael. In the time of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, there was never a keshet. So because of that, we can make a bow and arrow which looks like a keshet.
What's a keshet?
Keshet is a bow, a rainbow. Here it is. This
really?
Is the, yes, that's where it comes from.
I thought it was like probably something to do with like Asa or something.
You thought it was William Penn. If you look in the in Tavkuf Lamed, the Shari Tshuva Zayin, which is in Hilchos Chol Moed, he brings down Simchas Ataglach Hashayis LeKotn Kedei LaHagdil Simcha Moed. They want to be in Leger Simcha. V'Yinsha Simcha Minig Eretz Yisrael. So only if Taglach is a Minig Eretz Yisrael. Shayis Simcha B'Taglach Rishayin LeKotn. They make a big Simcha in the time of the first haircut. Shemachan Chayis V'Mitzel Lis LePeis Rosh. The first time of making pace. V'Yin B'Pri Eitz Chaim. That's Rechaim Vital. The people go to the kever Shimon Yochai and Belozer and Mirnin, which obviously means Miro, like Baimer. He saw his Rebbe the Rizal. He went there to make payas for his son. That is the makar. Let me just tell you one vort, and even though we're after a half hour, it's a Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei Mabei. The Gemara says, Rebbe Shimon Yochai says that Ilmoloi, if it was up to me, I could pater everybody from the day I was born until today. I can pater everybody from Gehenna. I can get them all out of any Einshim. And if I would be together with my neighbor, my next door neighbor, who is Belozer Beni, we said this when he was alive. If I could be together with my son, then I could pater people from the day of Briyas Ha'olam, from any Einshim. Very modern thing to say, Lachar. Very hard to understand. So the Ben Yehuda, that's the Ben Yishchai, on Sukkah Daf Mem, he asked a question. What does that mean? You can pater people from Einish. We know tzaddikim are able to do things to prevent people from sinning, to mispal to bring some person to get well, to mivatal a bad gzera. But to say that people are not going to get Gehenna, like they're already up in the Shemayim, he's going to stop from getting Gehenna, and with the son, he can prevent people from the previous generations that are already dead. What does that mean? So he says a very interesting chiddush, and I'll tell you in a minute some other gedolim or machaber to the same chiddush. There is a gemara that says that on Shabbos, if two people do a malocha, you're potter. If I lit a fire together with you, shnayim shesu is potter. Why? Because the Gemara says, nefesh echos gisechta. If one person sins, but two together, you're potter. What happens? V'zelo yachol, v'zelo yachol. We have to move the marshal, a big refrigerator with muxer, or a big computer, something which is very muxer, it's very heavy. We decided to move a car on Shabbos. So you know, you can't do it on Shabbos. I can't do it myself. So we paskin, zelo yachol, v'zelo yachol, we're both chayiv, because each one did a full malacha, because each one by himself and translated couldn't move it. Rav Shimon Yochai says no. That even if zelo yachol, v'zelo yachol, he's still potter, because after all said and done, it wasn't nefesh echas chisechta.
So if two people have a phone together, they're
potter? For sure. My share was a big mile. Rabbi Yasha gave me a psak. When people called on Shabbos, he was chayish, the kids bleeding, whatever. He told me you're allowed to pick up the phone, but what you should do is have two people pick it up together. And he had two little girls in the house then, two of his daughters. He had the two little kids pick it up together. Shnayim Shesu. Told that. Anytime you have to do Chil Shabbos, if you have to, it's always better if two will do it. Rav Shimon Yochai says,
really?
Even if neither of them, yes. Even if, whatever I say, if you don't believe it, I can show it to you. Try me out on that. I don't, I'm not saying that I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, Bashita, I will never say something if I can't show it to you.
So if ever in doubt, go with two? That's essentially the same?
Yeah. Anytime you have to do, but not always is it feasible. If you have to take a woman to the hospital because she's about to give birth, you're not going to have two guys driving the car, right? Just maybe a backseat driver, I don't know what you're going to do. But anyway, getting back to the report. The Lemaisa, the Rav Shimon Yochai said, even if they can both do it, you're still going to be chayiv. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Aleph. Antoninus asked Rabbeinu HaKodesh, we're going to go to Gehenna, no one's going to get a punishment, because the goof is going to say, I did this Aveira, I ate treifas, because the neshama told me to do it. I wouldn't have done it. The neshama should go to Gehenna, not me. And the neshama's going to say, I might have had bad ideas, but if I didn't have the goof physically to take me there, I wouldn't have done it. So the goof will pat the neshama, the neshama will pat the goof. The guy's not going to go to Gehenna. So what did Rabbeinu Kodesh answer back? Rabbeinu Kodesh answered back, it's not like that. He said, I'm Moshe Modover Dharma. I'll explain. You're a goy, you're not too smart, right? I'll explain to you a Moshe you understand. He said, there was once a king that had a big fancy garden, and he made two shemrim over there. Now one of them couldn't see, okay, and the other one was lame, okay. So now, what did he do? The two of them wanted to eat. I had him the way here. I had two Bar Mitzvahs downstairs in Zvil. So I have people waiting for me for ride home also. Okay, we'll have this in one shot. So now the Gemara says that Rebbeinu told him he had two shayrim. Now there's very nice food over there in that garden. Nice oranges, nice tomatoes. So one day the two shayrim decided that they're gonna go over there. But the problem was the guy that saw couldn't walk, and the guy that could walk couldn't see. So what they do? So the one that could walk was blind. He put on top of him the other guy that could see, right? And this way they were able to go together. And they were able to steal the oranges and the fruits. And the next day the king saw that all the good fruits are stolen. So the king wasn't stupid. He figured out if one guy can't walk and the other guy can't see, how could he do it? Obviously, what they did was that the person that was blind, so he was walking, and he had the other guy who had eyes and their feet sitting on top of his shoulders. So what did the king do? He said, we'll bring you to Mishpat. What did he do? He put him on top of the other one. He put the one that had eyes and couldn't walk, sat them on the other, and he judged it in one shot. The two of you, did you go and pick the fruits? And obviously the answer was yes. That was the marshal. What did he want to tell him? The Baruch Hashem is not Kaviyachal stupid, right? The Baruch Hashem understands quite well the Guf and the Shama. The Baruch Hashem, when he judges us, he judges the Guf and the Shama together. And this way, if you have a Guf and you have a Neshama, you're responsible. You can't say, well, I didn't do this, he did it. It's all one. The Guf and the Neshama are together. Oh, now that we know that, now we go back to a regular Bosar V'dam. If you hold like the ones that say, Zelo Yochel, V'Zelo Yochel, like most of them, so then, Zelo Yochel, Zeyochel Schaiv, here also. A Guf can't do a Verat Neshama, and the Neshama can't do without the Guf. So it makes sense. They're Banishim judged together. But if you hold like Rishon Meichoi, that even Zelo Yochel and Zelo Yochel is also Potter, now you have a nice limit schus. Anytime the Rebbeinu wants to bring us to Yom HaDin, so we can use the Tain of Antoninus. The Guf will say, I didn't do it. He'll say, I didn't do it, because neither of them did it. Neither of them could have done it by himself. So that's what Rishon Meichoi meant to say. Rishon Meichoi say, Yochel Ani, if I go like my Shita, I'm aware that every person is lying me. But if you go like my Shita, the Zelo Yochel, the Zelo Yochel is Potter, so the Rebbeinu cannot be Mechaivus. So they'll come to Yom HaDin. The Guf will say Neshama did it, Neshama say Guf did it, and you can't do anything because either one can't do it by himself. That's the eighth one, he meant Yochalni. But why did he say Yochalni? Ben Ishchai says, and Ben Yoda, why didn't he go ahead and talk about it? Why didn't he tie it for Klai Yisrael? That says, A, who says in Shemaim they work the same way it works by Malacha on Shabbos? Maybe Shemaim it doesn't work. You can't pay Ruchnis to Gashmias. And Hechel Shabbos is a Locha, Shnaim Shasu Potter. Who says the Rebbeinu Guf Neshama works like that? And Chutz Mizeh, who says that we pass for Shemay Choy? He was like a Yochid Neger Rab. And the biggest problem is, if we pass him like that, says the Ben Yoda, which is Ben Ishchai, if we pass him like that, we have a major problem. We're not going to get tzchar for any mitzvahs. Because the Ben Ishchai is going to tell you, it's going to boomerang on us. The Ben Ishchai say, you did the mitzvah? No, you didn't do it. The Shomer did it. Shomer did it? No, the Guv did it. So you lose all tzchar. So that's why he said, Yochid Neger, I could, but I'm not going to do it. Because I'm afraid it's going to boomerang, we're not getting any tzchar. That's what the Ben Ishchai in this pshat. The Mori de Gazach is the Marsham. Ben Ishchai was obviously a Sephardi. Marshan was like the biggest poisek in Galicia until about 70 years ago. He said a hesped for his wife. This is in the beginning of Shazir's Marshan Chelik Beis. There's a hesped he said for his wife who is nifter on Lag Boimer. So he said in the hesped, we talk about Lag Boimer, he said the exact same shot in Yochalani. He's not bothered at all by the fact that a lot of poiskim did not pass him Shimon. He's not bothered by the fact that maybe we shouldn't compare Ruchas to Gashmis. He likes that idea, but he says a long catch. That we don't pass him Rishon Reichoi. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass him that. We pass him Zelo Yochel, Zelo Yochel Schaif. But he timed it then at that Hesper. He said, the Rebbeinu Shem should at least give us that schus that on the day of the Hilula, on Lag Boimer, at least that day we should take a Pascha like Rishon Reichoi. And this way we get Kapora for all of our sins. Because the Guf could say, I can't do myself, and the Shama could say it. So, Masham was a Kohen, we should take the Berchus Kohen, we should take a hope that we do things properly on Lag Boimer, Lishmon, the way we're supposed to. We should talk about Zechik Kippur and our Avinus.